Today's first lesson is taken from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Here ends a lesson. We will read Psalm 51 responsibly. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And so you are justified when you speak, and upright in your judgment. For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and you will make me understand wisdom secretly. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Today's second lesson is from the fifth chapter of Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Here ends the lesson.
The Gospel from St. John, the 12th verse. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. And they said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Then Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it, and they said it was thunders, and others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to join me over here for a few moments. Over here, guys. I need to sit up a little higher. When I was reading these Bible verses this week, they kept reminding me again and again of all the things that I've done that I'm not very proud of. I maybe have hurt some people that I didn't even know, and maybe didn't do some things that I should have done. And so I started to mark them down this morning, all the things I've done that I'm really sorry, and I can't forget. Oh, I just thought of another one. Hang on, let me add this. And another one, oh my. You know, I could fill up this card with all the things that I've done that I'm not proud of, that I'm sad about. But in that first reading, there was a line that gave me hope. It said, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And in the psalm it says, hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. I remember the things that I've done that I'm not proud of. But look what happens when God looks at the things we've done that we're not proud of. Oh. Here we go. All the things that make me sad, that I wish I hadn't done. When God looks at my sheet of sins, look what happens. They what? Yes, they're going away, aren't they? They're not there anymore. They're not there. That's what God does for me. I may not forget them, but God forgets them. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for not remembering my sin. Thank you for making my slate clean.
Thank you for making my slate clean.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. If you look for friction pens, they're hard to find, but if you look for them and you write with them, you can erase. And it's not the erasing that makes the writing go away, it's the heat and the friction. So when you hold heat up to whatever you've written, it goes away. Just like our sins before God go away. So remember that, friction pins, pens. On one of my last long-distance hikes on the Appalachian Trail, my buddies and I were in the northern reaches of Maine's wilderness. It was late in the afternoon, and we had a couple of miles to go before we reached our designated campsite. It was hot. I was thirsty. I was running low on water. I was tired. My 25-pound pack felt like 50 pounds, and my hiking boots felt like they weighed 30 pounds apiece. And the trail was uphill. I know it's not logical, but as I remember the AT and hiking, it was always uphill. As a matter of fact, I have a book by an AT hiker entitled, It's Always Up. It's always up. So I was trudging up that long mountain or hill or whatever it was. All I knew is I couldn't see the top of it. It was there on the way up that hill or that mountain, whatever it was, that I couldn't see the top of, that I vividly remember asking myself, whose idea was this anyway? And it was there and then that I decided to trade my sleeping in a tiny hot tent on the hard ground, a rolled up jacket as my pillow, and instant potatoes and oatmeal as the mainstay of my diet. Then and there I decided to trade all of that for an air-conditioned trailer with a queen-size bed, with a well-equipped kitchen and full refrigerator, with a sink with cold and hot running water, and best of all, a toilet that flushed. In our pampered world, our turned-in-upon-ourselves generation, most of us, I guess, would trade a tiny hot tent for an air-conditioned trailer and a primitive privy, if you are lucky, for a flush toilet. The intent of most folks today, including me, on our way to the good life, is to avoid pain and to seek pleasure in song and story, in cinema, on TV. We are bombarded with the message that suffering is not only to be avoided, but it's unnecessary. This pill gets to the pain quicker than any of the others. It's new and improved, and it won't upset your stomach. Numbness in your feet and toes and fingers. Nervive is known to relieve nerve pain. And forget where you put your keys. Prevagen, if you can remember it when you get into the grocery or drugstore. And that exercise machine will make you look like Adonis in 10 weeks. If you use it for something other than a clothes rack. If it smacks of sacrifice, pain, or suffering, we want nothing to do with it. I mean, who wouldn't choose sleeping in an air-conditioned trailer on a queen-size bed over the hard ground in a tiny hot tent? In such an age, is it any wonder that we have a hard time getting our head around these words of Jesus in the gospel for today when he talks about his coming suffering? Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, It is for this hour that I have come. You know, it's one thing when suffering and pain come our way, but it's quite another to court it, to see it as not only necessary, but even preferable. We have a hard time getting our heads around this, our heads around these words of Jesus. And I'm relatively certain that had I been with Jesus in Galilee, I would have been right behind Peter when Peter tried to dissuade Jesus from going to Jerusalem. After all, who in their right mind would court crucifixion? Jesus, that's who. Because Jesus understood something deep down inside that I think we have a hard time believing, or believing at least a hard time living it out in our lives. Jesus knew, Jesus believed, Jesus understood, and Jesus lived it out, that it's only when life is given away that it becomes useful and fruitful. And the giving away of life can be painful. Only when a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies can it ever attain the potential that God had built into that tiny little seed. Only when it is thrown into the cold ground, buried as if it were in a grave, does it bear fruit. Only when it dies at the hands of the grinder and the baker can it become a loaf of bread or a communion host. Only when life is given away does it become useful and fruitful and meaningful. It was giving his life away, quite literally, that Jesus bore the fruit of forgiveness, paid the price of our sin, wiped free our slate. It is through dying, somehow in dying, that Jesus brought life. Now, perhaps it's because of the temptation we have to measure life in this world by the things that we've gathered, to place our trust in security, bonds and IRAs and pension accounts and annuities. Perhaps that's the reason it's so difficult for us to understand what Jesus is talking about. Those things are important, but they're not most important. We attended last week a junior high production of Hello, Dolly. And there was a line in there about money that stuck with me. I'm not sure who said it. It was Dolly or her friend who said, "Money is like manure. You let it pile up and it stinks. Only when you spread it around does it do good things." Only when we spread our life around does it do good things. I have a tendency to forget that, and I'm tempted to gather, to keep, to hoard life and all that it offers for myself. Oh, how I need these words of Jesus. I need them to keep me from, to keep reminding me that real life is not to be found in getting and keeping, but in getting, giving, and spreading it around. And sometimes that's painful. Real, meaningful life is to be found in dying to what the world seems to be most important, just like that little grain of wheat. Unless it dies, it remains a single grain of wheat. But if it dies, it has the potential to feed the world. That's why the grain of wheat is an important symbol to me. You've got it on the cover of your bulletin. And it's been on the cover of just about every funeral I've ever conducted, because that reminds me that dying is not the end. But it also reminds me that when I die to self and spread my life around, others benefit. Jesus knew that. That's why he was willing to court crucifixion. For he knew out of suffering and death would come life. Jesus knew that, and he calls me not only to know it, but to live it out in the world now. So what, Evan? What are you going to do? You know, I've said you before that I preach to myself as much as I do to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to give away? What are you going to sacrifice? What are you going to do? I struggled with that, and I decided to sacrifice a very precious commodity, a commodity that becomes more and more precious to me the older I get. Some of my limited and precious time. I called a man who I know is slowly, painfully, slowly dying with ALS to arrange a visit. And if it goes well, I will go again and again and again. And hopefully my sacrifice of time will make his week a bit more bearable. What are you going to do? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain of wheat. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. With these words, our Lord, one who suffered, sacrificed, and died that we might live eternally, our Lord now challenges us with these words. I told you what I did. What are you going to do to live out our Lord's challenge? What are you going to let die in your life, sacrifice that will bring forth fruit in the life of someone else? What are you going to do? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain of wheat. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Amen.